delighted now to be joined by John Fallon and Eddie Hoare to look at the Galway senior football squad after they got their FBD league campaign after flying straight against Leitrim last weekend and now face Mayo in the FBD league semi-final. Just before we do that, lads, obviously last weekend was a big weekend for Galway club football. Unfortunately, three clubs came up short in the All-Ireland semi-finals. Stewartstown Harps getting the better of Clifton, Dunmore McHale's just coming up short against Galvelly Pierces, and then Glenn just having enough for Mike Cullen. John, just coming to you first, like, if you're to look at, I suppose, from a whole, it's been a fantastic year for Galway club football to have three clubs involved at them stages. I suppose just unfortunate that none of those clubs will be appearing in an All-Ireland club final this year.
It is when they get that far. And like, as we've seen it before, there's only we'll say the five counties or sometimes six with London involved in it at senior level. It's still very difficult to get out of Connacht in any of those grades. And we've seen good teams come out of Galway and not manage to get, you know, go any further in it. You know, and for three of them to be in semi-finals, I think it was back first time, it's about 2005, if I'm not mistaken, was the last time the three of them were, or we had three from Galway in it. You just wonder as well, now I know it was the same for the opposition, the fact that there was Christmas in between, was there momentum lost, stuff like that as well. But for none of them to get through, and I think it's one of the biggest things, that if I'm not mistaken, it was the Kerry president, Sean, gosh.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, it was him that came up with the idea of particularly extending this to intermediate and junior teams. And as somebody who played junior hurling for Salt Hill for a long time, I can only imagine what it must be like for a junior player to get to play in Croke Park by merit and in an All-Ireland final. And guys like from Eastgey are going to be doing it for Eastgey hurlers and Tourine this weekend. And it must be fantastic. We all know about seniors, it's so developed into it. So, you know, for the likes of Clifton or Dunmore, massive progress that they've made. I think even to get to that final would be huge in itself. There's probably no place worse to lose in any competition than a semi-final. You don't even get the big day out of it or any of that. Or in this case, the chance to get a bit more momentum back in again. So yeah, disappointing, but you know, at the same time, I don't think any of the three of them really can have any complaints about the way the games went.
Yeah, Eddie, like, just looking at the three games, like, Clifton were, I suppose, winning going into normal time, then just got caught by Stewartstown in extra time. If you're to look at the Galvelly score, you're just kind of saying, oh, Jesus, like, 4-4. And then, I suppose, with Mike Cullen, probably in the end, a bad start probably just did kill them against Glenn.
Yeah, I think that's an accurate synopsis of the way things went. On the balance, I think Clifton were, from the sounds of it and the radio and the analysis of it, they were unlucky. They were 2 points up in normal time and were pipped then to bring it to extra time and eventually losing out. Heartbreaking for Gerard Gibbons, who's been outstanding all year, for it was him that missed the penalty. But such is the luck, I'm sure. The opposition are doing a lot more work on penalty takers, given the fact that games now can be decided on it. So he was unlucky; it was late in the game. On the other hand, for the intermediate side, Dunmore, a really funny scoreline. I think the opposition's first score, Stewartstown, came in after 30 minutes. Our first point, sorry, came after 30 minutes. Like, again, on the balance in terms of scoring, Dunmore will be very, very disappointed and probably didn't show their full potential. The opposition have, like John had mentioned, momentum. They had their provincial final a lot closer to the All-Ireland semi-final, so it might have helped them from a momentum perspective. And then going on Sunday's game, then Mike Cullen, just again, the bad start, just they didn't get going, and Glenn were at the pitch of it from the outset. And again, bar the goal, they were a little bit unlucky. The goalie made a very good save and the rebound just found its way into the net, Mike Cullen. A lot of their big players would probably think that there was more in the tank. Again, given the Christmas break, it's hard to know how the Don Connellan and they managed it some say you should train, some say you should rest. It's hard to find the balance. And generally, when you win, you've done the right thing. If you lose, everyone will say it's the wrong thing. But again, going back to it, John touched on it. Like they're a really, really one of the best, I suppose, things that have been brought in the GA is the club championships, All-Ireland series for junior and intermediate. I was lucky enough myself to play in an All-Ireland final in 2009. And like a club, small club like ourselves, like it was such an occasion. St. James's did it the year after, a few years after, Mike Cullen the year, a few years previous, won it. Carla Strann had an opportunity similarly. I think Ballinasloe and Clonburr won their junior. So again, like from Clifton and Dunmore's perspective, when you get that close, it'll be heartbreaking that they didn't get the opportunity to progress to a final. But ultimately, at the start of the year, their objective would have been promotion, and they're both competing now in intermediate and senior championship in 2023. So when things settle down after a week or two, I'm sure they'll still be very, very happy with their year and with how 2022 went.
To just think of it as well, John, because I just want to bring you in here. You're obviously at the Sigerson game last night between NUIG and Maynooth University, NUIG defeating the league champions in the opening round. But just when you consider that the Mike Cullen management team, bar maybe Kieran Murphy, is the same as the NUIG management team, it's been a long, long year for them, and they're back out last night. And even a couple of the Mike Cullen players played last night. Like, it's just like, it's been such a long year for all those players.
Absolutely. And as you said, for management as well, I met Don Connellan afterwards and like did a good win, but we were like drowned rats, the whole lot of us. It was as bad a night, I think, as I've been out at a game, and I'm nearly 40 years at this lark. It was just an appalling night for it. And as Don said to me, look, we're back in, nobody died, you move on. You know, it makes winning all the more pleasurable, you know, when you realise what the pain of defeat is like. And in fairness to Mike Cullen, they've enjoyed a lot of that in the last 3 years, as indeed have college, because it's hard to keep up with the name. Is it UCG, NUIG, University of Galway? Let's just call them college as Galwegians or whatever. But they're back out. They're a very, very good squad. You have three of the Kellys alone on that. Sean didn't play last night. Paul did. Owen came on for a while. But like, it's a new competition for them. One competition has just finished 3 or 4 days ago in an All-Ireland semi-final. It's back out for this. Some of these lads are going to play this weekend again in the FBD. In one sense, it's crazy. In another sense, they're young, they're fit, they want to play with all of that as well. Perhaps the most significant thing last night in the Sigerson one was in the final few moments of the game, James McLaughlin came on for University of Galway, having missed all of the Mike Cullen run through the county.
His last game was the Roscommon League
one against Roscommon, I think, was. Yeah. And that troublesome injury that he's had right through. And to see him back out, and even if it was only for a couple of minutes of a cameo or whatever, you're just sort of saying, well, that's a corner turn for him. And he's such a big athlete. Even last night, you could hardly see the players on the far side of the pitch. And the minute you came on, he said, wow, look. And then realised who he was once you could see through the haze and the rain or whatever. So significant in that regard. All the more reason Mike Cullen's march through Galway to have a player of that quality not available to them. And I wouldn't quite say they didn't miss him, because they certainly could have done with him last week. But it's a good development. But it's a 12-month season for all of those Mike Cullen lads. I hope not, but I fear it could catch up on some of them.
Eddie, like, just to bring you in there, like, you're looking at the Galway squad at the minute, and like, if you think of it, Mike Cullen had 6 lads involved last year, could possibly even have more. Like, you're even looking at someone now like Jared Davern, who's really impressed all throughout the year with the college as well. Like, they could add one or two more to that. Saltill with 6 players, Montbellew with 6 to 7 players. Like they're obviously 3 of the dominant clubs this year, and they look like they're going to have a fair chunk of players with Galway this year.
They will, and on the balance over the last number of years in the club championships, invariably those teams and squads have been at the business end. I think it bodes well for Galway that most players that are available to play are making themselves available are of the caliber. That wasn't always the case, and I think that's a good place to be. Sometimes when let's say we hadn't been going as well, you'd have certain players for different various reasons, and some have valid ones, some just didn't want to commit. But generally speaking, I feel that when players, when a team, it speaks a lot about where the team is at. Players want to be involved. They want a piece of this. They think that potentially Galway will be competing at the business end. And personally, I think they will. Obviously, last year, they went toe-to-toe with Kerry. And that's good. We see a lot of players coming back. The likes of Ian Burke came back, which is good to see. And other lads that maybe were on the fringes of the panel last year are coming, are getting game time and getting a chance to put up their hand. Because last year in July, when Galway lost out to Kerry, probably one of the big factors was the depth in the squad. It's a young squad, and just that experience probably wasn't there on the bench, whereas Kerry had the Spillanes to make a big difference in the second half. So that's, I'd expect, what Pádraig Joyce would be taken from. And touching on what John mentioned, James McLaughlin, and I've mentioned him previously in commentary, like I've seen him at under 20 level, at minor level, he's a fine athlete and great potential. And you could see him on the fringes of the Galway panel, even though he had his runners on, he wasn't togged. Same with Mike Cullen. I'd say it was very frustrating for a guy of his potential to be watching Galway progress to an All-Ireland final, his club win a county Connacht and progress to it, and not being able to be involved. So it's great for him personally to be back playing and have broken that duck, to have actually put on the boots and be back in competitive action. And it's an exciting place for the likes of him and other under-20s to come into a Galway side that are definitely in a good place. So best wishes to them and others. Like you mentioned, they've had a long year and it's about managing the load. So I just hope, and I think from the soundings, from the interviews that Pádraig always gives post-match, and the same with John Connellan and Morris Sheridan, I think they will manage the players' loads, because as Pádraig mentioned, I think that if they're fit and not available, if they're not unfit and unavailable, they're no good to college or Galway. So it's important to manage that load. And I'm glad to hear that Sean Kelly did not feature last night, whether it's just managing his load, I'd expect it was, but he has a big year ahead of him, had a long year in 2022. So he'll need a little bit of a break and need to manage his load over the course of the next few weeks.
I think, Eddie, you know, players coming back in that, like Ian Burke, you know, he's been out of it for 2 years, he's an all-star for a long time. He was the only Galway all-star for nearly 16, 17 years until this year. And I was delighted for him last Friday, because it was so important. He needed to make an impact. And he did. Like, first 10, 15 minutes, I saw him back at one stage in the opening quarter. He was back at left corner back. And without describing him as a fair weather player, because he obviously is not, but he's not the biggest man in the world. It was brilliant that it was on in the Air Dome as well, because you had not quite summer conditions, but they weren't like the conditions of last night, where a diminutive corner forward, you know, it was almost impossible to play. I know his brother Gavin was playing last night. He did all right, mind you. But for Ian Burke to come into those and make an impact was absolutely
yeah.
And he set a tone in a lot of it, because there are quite a handful of players coming back in there as well that are possibly second chance saloon in some cases. I know in Ian's case, he just wasn't available through work, but there's a lot of other guys coming in there. Guys like John Maher, I thought, did very well also in there. Barry McHugh on top of that as well. A lot of those guys need a big impact, and it was good to see them deliver, but particularly Ian Burke, because every eye in the place was on him.
And in Ian's case as well, I think, like, he's such an intelligent player. He brings a lot to it, and I think his influence, be it on the pitch or off the pitch, will rub off quite well on the younger guys, like the Robert Finnerty's, the Tom O'Callaghan's, who have all the attributes, but it's some of the intangible attributes that the likes of Ian Burke can maybe lend to them in terms of the spatial awareness, just pure positioning, and hopefully he'll bring that. And a really good guy, like you said, having won his All-Star in 2019, the first in 17 years, but so deserving at the time. And again, I'm delighted to have seen his second coming going well for him on Friday night, and hopefully more of the same next Saturday.
John, is defence the most important thing for Joyce to kind of figure out for this FBD league? Because obviously you're going to be around two starters from last year's All-Ireland in Liam Silk and Kieran Malloy. Liam Silk obviously gone travelling, Malloy out to cruciate ligament injury. Going into Division One, like it feels like that's, I suppose, the most important area for Galway to kind of try and rediscover early on in the season.
Well, as you said, there are obvious vacancies. excuse me, there are obviously vacancies that are there. Probably one of the better things to come out of the match against Leitrim last weekend was the performance of Billy Mannion at centre back. Big, strong player, controlled that position quite well. And in terms of players needing to make an impression like that, he certainly did in that regard. How you fill in around that when Sean Mulkernan comes back? Where do you play Sean Kelly? And where do you find a man marker like Liam Silk? Unless we can persuade Lee Keegan to reinvent himself with Galway or something like that. There isn't an obvious one there. Not when you get to that high-level stuff where, would Galway have got to last year's All-Ireland final if you didn't have Liam Silk doing the man marking jobs that were coming there? I think identifying that one, that person will probably develop more so during the league, especially in Division One, where you're going to be encountering those sort of, whether it's a Clifford or back in the day a Michael Murphy, or who do you put onto that? But I thought Billy Mannion's performance last Friday sent out a marker in itself, and just the confidence he showed around a lot of that. Paddy Joyce has been saying you want to find new players, you want to see players move on to a new level during this FBD. I thought he was one that certainly did that. But of course, these things evolve as well. Watching Corfin in recent years, you wouldn't have seen necessarily that Dylan McHugh was going to emerge into a serious, serious inter-county footballer, very close to an all-star. But sometimes when guys get up to another level, they actually go a level beyond that in performance. Looking forward to see how the likes of Billy Mannion performs this weekend now, when the opposition is going to step up a notch or two as well. But in terms of what you're looking for and getting out of these games, there was another one that was quite positive in that. But formation of that defence, it's not going to be sorted out in the FBD, but it'll be Castlebar in a couple of weeks' time. We'll probably sort of that out as well. But teams evolve as well. And I know in Galway's case, they've known, would say, Liam Silk is going to be gone possibly for a lot of the year. It depends who you talk to. If you talk to Cora Finn, they don't necessarily expect him back this year. Pádraig Joyce, Galway are hoping it'll be April. Kieran Malloy is gone for the year. We know that there's two straight away that are gone from there that need replacing. So the only thing is they're at least foreseen quite early, even long before Christmas. There's a bit of chance for what you're looking for there, rather than losing somebody this month or next month or as the league progresses.
Yeah, obviously you had Jack Lane, John Daly and Sean Kelly, who didn't line out, so they're like three guaranteed players to come back in anyways to the defence. But Eddie, it definitely does seem like Galway would want to get some stability in there from the start, because as John mentions, this weekend, obviously the Mayo FBD, there's going to be a bit of excitement around it because it's sold out so quickly. But ultimately, I'd say that's where Galway and Mayo are both kind of looking towards now on the 28th of January.
Definitely, and John touched on most of the points in relation to it. Galway have such a fluid attack, they're going to score. So if they can keep their defence shut out the opposition, they're going to give themselves a chance against anyone, and in the main they were good last year defensively, and had a bar check out the I think Armagh game. They had a good record defensively in terms of conceding. Last weekend, only one I think of the seven that started the All-Ireland were there, and Dylan McHugh. Like I said, Sean Mulkern's another good big addition to come back. And I was, again, was John is touching about Billy Mannion and the versatility that he has. He started his career, I suppose, at club senior level at fullback, played a lot of the championship this year at midfield, and lined out at centre back last Friday. So again, he's great versatility. He definitely has the physique to to play at inter-county level. When he came on in this quarterfinal last year for his debut, it didn't faze him. He had a massive influence in that game. Played again in the semi-final and probably would have been disappointed not to feature it in the final. Sometimes that disappointment is an important thing to respond to and respond in the right way. And he looks like a guy that has, because he had a really good club championship last year and is back in the frame and played well again last Friday. Other ones then I'd be looking at maybe the likes of Johnny McGrath. I know the really good time from Carlos Strand. He, again, a really prominent player and a similar player to Jack Clane, real tigerish, tidy cornerback. And his form for Carlos Strand and up through the ranks of underage football, again, would have got a taste of it last year and probably would have been disappointed not to break in to the starting lineup last year. So he is a good opportunity. And two others then, Johnny Heaney and Cathal Sweeney at wing forward, are also very well able to fill in at wing back as well. So again, the versatility in the squad is important. Daniel Flaherty, another captain, I think the Miners 3 years ago, Salt Hill, he again had a good game last week at wing back. And a lad in his first, I know he was in the periphery of the squad last year, but another lad is tasting his first piece of senior football. So again, the likes of the Johnny McGraths, the and Billy Mannions are in their second year, so you'd probably see them push more towards looking towards a starting berth. Sean Fitzgerald as well had a very good FPD league last year and was unfortunate with, I think, a meniscus injury. So again, it'll be interesting to see how he fares. I think, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see what Pádraic Joyce wants to do with Sean Kelly this year. Sean Mulkerns is back. If Sean Fitzgerald, Billy Mannion, a lot of options at fullback. Does he pull Sean Kelly out to wing back to midfield with Killian McDade? Again, it's all options, and he'll want to use them to the best of their ability.
I think as well, Eddie, you mentioned there Daniel Flaherty. He was a player as well, I thought, did very well. Looked so composed for a lad, you know, just...
Yeah.
But what was most noticeable as well, and I suppose it's Division 1 against Division 4 as well, is you look at the physique of somebody like Daniel Flaherty, just starting out there, and yet he was physically more developed than nearly most of the Leitrim players. Now, Division 1, Division 4 is quite obvious. And again, this weekend, you're going to have a lot there, but I think what we're seeing as well is the way Galway minor under 20 teams, and they've had a lot of success with that, is you're seeing that sort of the end product from the underage thing when they're coming in now, they're physically so developed.
Absolutely, yeah. No, yeah, and I saw a clip of Daniel Flaherty actually online, and he just literally was at a stand and start, and he just literally blitzed his man, went in and I think sold it on the left, kicked on the right, and it's again pure physique and skill development, and that just starts. And again, mentioned like the likes of Dennis Carr at the academies, Alan Glynn as the minors, Donal Flaherty, they're developing their skills physically.
There was another clip in it in the opening half of it where he was collecting a ball stationary, and he was going to it as much as he could, but he was more or less stationary hit, and he'd been lined up and he got a fair whack, a fair one. There was nothing in it. But he didn't budge an inch. Mm. He actually then just continued forward. If he wasn't in peak condition and not developed, he would have been laid out. It was a perfect hit. It was beautifully timed. It was a lead from corner forward. He had timed it brilliantly. And you just sort of said, gosh, this guy, you know, he's only a young lad, he's coming through. Mm-hmm. He's able to take a hit like that and actually come out with the ball. It didn't knock a flick it out of him. So that's, I suppose that's even just the baseline for going into Division 1.
It bodes well. Like ordinarily, the likes of Daniel Flaherty, these guys would have probably come in and gone on programs with the senior and taken 2 to 3 years to develop. Whereas instead, they're actually coming in quite developed and give Pádraic Joyce a lot more options, and it speaks volumes of what's been done, like you said, at underage. It's important, you know.
Just to touch on a point here, lads, Paul Conroy came on at the weekend. He is coming towards the latter stages of his career. I think Galway are now looking towards maybe Paul Conroy as a forward rather than a midfielder, John.
Do you want to tell him he's coming towards the end of his career? Because there's absolutely. I think he made a senior debut back in 2008. He went from that minor into the following year. You know, you look, for a start, we're talking about condition and the whole lot. Like, he was beside me before he came on, and you're just looking at him, you said, my God, like, his first week in January, for a start, he was pumped up coming on, as if this was almost his debut or something like that. Where do you find a role for him? Like he can still do a job in midfield, and that's the reality of it. Whether that mobility, but you don't necessarily need to have a huge amount of it. Of it either. He's there in a variety of positions. He, in terms of, I can only imagine the impact he has in the dressing room for a start, when somebody can lead like that as he does. And he's that penchant as well for just getting key scores when you most need them and when it looks least expected to come from him. Does he take on a role of an impact sub? Or do you put him out there and burn himself into the ground in whatever position from midfield forward in that? I think it's fabulous he's staying on for a start. I think guys like that have so much to offer in it. But when they have so much to offer, as I said, when they're in such physical condition and you see him getting pumped up on the sideline, coming on and playing Leitrim, and they have 10 or 12 points at that stage or whatever, and it's to him the most important game of all. What, you know, what message is that sending back to lads that are just starting out in it? So where I really don't know where his best position is. I mean, Eddie played with them right through or whatever. It's you know, where do you play? I really don't know.
I think he's gone in, like you said, to his 16th year at this level. Like, he's given so much to go with football. Like, Paul never done, I don't think, a J1 in America, never travelled to Australia. He devoted every year of those 16 to Galway football, like, you know, and he came straight out of minor, captained them in 07 and came in with Liam Salmon, and again, didn't faze him his debut, I remember, in Pier Stadium, because I was in the squad at the time, and he came in and I think he was nearly man of the match. It was either Roscommon or Leitrim we played in Salt Hill that day. But again, and I know, looking at, maybe some of you might have seen the Roy Keane and Tommy Tiernan, and he said, like, it's the senior players that set the tone in the dressing room, and that's the way squads develop, and no better guy than Paul. And I'd say Patrick Joyce was one guy who was happy that Paul is going to commit for another year. I know they had a newborn baby recently as well, so that's a big commitment as well. So again, it just shows the devotion and commitment he has to the guys. And I'd say he does know as well that Galway is in a good place too, and that having given 16 years, Galway mightn't be too far away from honours. And he does, and he wouldn't stay on if he didn't think he had something to offer, be it off the pitch or on the pitch. But I think he still has a lot, like you said, John, to offer on the pitch. Like, he's really evolved over that since breaking his leg a few years ago, or the double break in his leg. He's really evolved in his physique. Like, he broke onto the scene sort of as a more of a forward. He would have always been underage, being midfield with his club, but he really was really effective over the last number of years in midfield, winning primary possession and popping up in the pocket to score as well. Other than that, I think full forward is another position, and it's some place where, with the advanced mark, and opposition wouldn't like to see him coming in. But I definitely think he'll add a lot of value and options for Joyce, and you'll see him playing quite a lot through the course.
Particularly a fullback that might have had 40 minutes of dealing with Damien Comer.
Conroy
coming in. It's definitely he presents
a different option there. Like, you're like, to let's say your Rob Finnerty, your Tom O'Callaghan would be a quicker corner forward. The likes of Paul in there might occupy a fullback and give a little bit more space to guys around him. So definitely, I think he's a lot to offer.
That's not me ruling out Paul Connor in our end, and just saying that.
The other part about Paul is he has an amazing ability to recall games and detail, and he's not short of correcting you if you phrase a question and you've a venue. For some of us can't remember what happened yesterday or whatever. He just has a remarkable recall of what happened in games, and this is post match, and he's pumped up coming in of it, and he's. Whatever it might be, and he'd be, you know, he's tuned into it, like he's all on to it. It's fabulous to see the enthusiasm, the whole lot of it as well. It really is.
Yeah, no, he definitely could add something into the forwards there. It'd be interesting to see. Just to touch on that Mayo game this weekend, Eddie, like the FBD League, but it already shows, I suppose, the appetite of both supporters. Supporters on trying to buy tickets, gone in 10 minutes for an FBD League semi-final. Like, you don't have that in many pre-season competitions.
No, there's an enthusiasm amongst supporters. They know that the team is in a good place. Okay, it's FBD, and Pádraig Joyce in his post-match interview would have said that it's not about setting markers, but still he'll still want to put on a performance. He won't be as concerned about the result, but he'll definitely prefer to win it. Again, it'll be about putting 60 more minutes or 70 more minutes into some of the guys that would have had their debuts, had more game time last weekend against a stiffer opposition, a Division One side. So again, it'll tell us a lot more about where players are at. But whether they win or lose, the biggest marker will be in Castlebar in a few weeks' time in the league. But it'll be next Saturday that he'll be looking to see for lads to put their hands up to see who has the ability to push on for the Division One league, because it won't have any stiffer opposition than Mayo when it comes to a Connacht League perspective.
Do you expect both sides to trial a lot of players, I suppose, with them meeting again in, say, 2 weeks?
I don't think they have a choice in a lot of cases, because the other part of it is what I found revealing in itself. Was Pádraig Joyce told us after the match the last day, he has 24 or 25 players at most in training at the moment. He had 9 players last weekend in club activity. There's a few travelling, or Jamie Comer's case, just back, not available. He is one of the managers that cooperates with and wants his players playing Sigurdsson and sees the benefit of that. And I think that was the reason why they started 5 of the All-Ireland final team.
You just seem to have lost you there, John. Your camera seems to be off too. But yeah, no, it's an interesting point, Eddie. John touches on there, I suppose, just with 25 players in training at the moment.
Yeah, it is, and he probably doesn't have the luxury of having his full squad available. So of that 25, he's obviously going to play 15 of them, the Mike Cullen guys. Some would have played Sigurdsson yesterday, so they mightn't be fully available for a fully from the off. So again, yeah, the priority I'd expect and the objective for Pádraig Joyce on Saturday, like was touched on, is to try and get more minutes, more experience into those guys and get them more readily available for league action in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, we just seem to have lost John there, and hopefully he might come back in the next few minutes. Eddie, just on this year, I suppose, as a whole, like, we're seeing the FBD now, you're going to have your 7 league games. There's a kind of championship there. Galway played the winners of Mayo, Roscommon. Then we have, I suppose, the 16s this year, where there'll be 4 groups of 4, preliminary quarterfinals, all Ireland quarterfinals. It's a long route if Galway want to get back where they were last year. But for you, like, where has to be the aim this year for Galway?
I'd say the aim from the outset, like from the Connacht League, he'll be hoping to trial players to get more depth in his squad. From the league, I'd expect he wouldn't place more massive emphasis on it, but to get up to the pitch of championship and hopefully stay in Division One, I'd expect that would be the priority. He wouldn't have any bones about trying to win it. If there's an opportunity to win it, they will, but I just expect the objective would be to stay in Division One. Connacht Championship, given the format this year, doesn't have as much, I suppose, emphasis on the championship. But look, that said, they'll still want to go out there and win it and give themselves the best opportunity. It's a long road. Like, you know, it's about managing the load. Again, even the Connacht League, it's early in January, but it's about getting depth in his squad, because there's so many more games to play this year, and we'll need depth in the squad. Like, you're not going to win in All-Ireland with 20 players, you're going to need a squad of 30 and 30 guys that you can actually use and have trust in using. But from a championship perspective, Galway are right up there, and I'd expect Pádraig Joyce, when it comes down to it in July, will hope to be in the final two and having a right good say in who wins it. And I think they will.
Last year as well, Eddie, I suppose the value of that team was momentum from the very start. I suppose that's poor. That's something Porik and the team are going to want to replicate again, because from the very start last year it was FBD, it was League, Connacht Championship, and it, when you just build that kind of momentum, it's very hard to stop.
Yeah, last year was probably a little bit different in terms of, like, Galway had COVID had stemmed their momentum the 2 years previously, and they were ultimately a knockout. I think Porik was coming into the third year of his term, and he knew that they needed to hit the ground running, and they placed more emphasis on the Connacht League. They knew they were in Division 2, they wanted to be in Division 1. So yeah, last year I'd expect a lot more emphasis went into the early phases of making sure that they put set down a marker early in the Connacht League, get out of Division 1, Division 2 and into Division 1, which they did, and ultimately hit the Connacht Championship running. There wasn't the opportunity, or I think there was one backdoor opportunity in last year's championship because it was run off in a different format. So again, they had no option but to be at the pitch of it from the outset, and they were, to be fair.
That's all on our show for today. We just seemed to have lost John towards the end there, but Eddie Hoare, thanks a million for your time.
Thanks, Paul. Good man.